are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new week and a new episode of Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. And you are with Patricia Traina. I am your host, and I am joined this week by special guest Chris Viziano of the Giant Insider. And I say this week because Chris, the leader of the Giant Insider Buffoon Crew, is going to help me break down every position on the Giants. We're going to look at the position and how it performed in 2018. We're going to spotlight a player or two, and then we're going to wrap up with a little outlook and look ahead to 2019. So, Chris, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, Patty. Pleasure to be back.
All right.
I'm glad you want me back.
I'm telling you, the listeners love you. I keep getting emails asking for you and, you know, when's he coming back? So I said, listen, you get the people what they want, right?
Well, you're stuck with me now, folks. Because here I am.
There he is. All right. So, Chris, let's jump right into things. We're going to start with the quarterback position on this show. And I think we have to start with Eli Manning, who just turned 38 on last Thursday. And your thoughts on the season Eli had?
Well, numbers-wise, Patty, it was one of his best seasons. Touchdown-wise, no. 21 touchdowns, low. Interceptions-wise, yeah, that was low at 11. Completion percentage-wise, his best completion percentage since 2014 is best ever, 66%. Now, the negative, red zone, not that good, okay? Number of touchdowns for the offense, not that good. Did he have periods of time where he was bad? Yes. Did he have periods of time where he was good? Yes. So pretty inconsistent, Patty. Obviously, the Tennessee game was a low point, and he had a few really good games. So, Patty, the way I look at it was typical Eli. Up, down, good at times, maybe not as good at times.
Chris, when you look at Eli, I mean, I know when I did my breakdown of him, it was almost like a tale of two seasons for him. You know, the first eight games of the year, just not very good for the offense in general. And a big part of that, which we'll talk about, you know, later in the week, was the offensive line. You know, the fact that they went through, I think it was three or four different versions of it. But basically, you know, Eli was sent running for his life. And there were times when he looked so skittish that, you know, the slightest hint of a jailbreak sent him crumbling to the ground like a house of cards being hit by a gust of wind.
Yeah, listen, Pat, I don't think there's any question that Eli is a little gun shy in the pocket. There was times where you see him literally staring at pass rushers coming in, literally. Times he's collapsed at the slightest, you know, hint of a pass rush. You've seen Eli collapse at times. I've literally collapsed. So, listen, Pat, I've seen this in Eli in the last few years. There's been times where he's been gun-shy. I don't think there's any question about it. Now, why? Because he's been getting pounded the last 5 years by inept offensive line. Now you look at the other side and say, well, you can't have that in a quarterback, and it's all true, you know. But the second half, he got more protection, Patty. They settled that thing down up front, and he was much more effective.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. And the other thing, and I don't know if this was lost on some people, I know I noticed it, under Pat Shurmur, Shurmur had Eli moving around in the pocket a lot more, especially in the second half of the season. We saw him rolling out, you know, running the boots, running the, you know, the misdirections and all that stuff. And, you know, that kind of flies in the face of the narrative that Eli is a statue because, you know, I think of a statue. I think of a guy that drops back, stands there, you know, come hell or high water, doesn't move. But Shurmur, to his credit, you know, got Eli moving around in the pocket. Now, what Eli will never be is a rusher. He's never going to rush straight ahead for yards on a consistent basis. I think that's where the mix-up comes when people say that he's a statue versus rolling out and away from pressure. But, you know, when they got him moving around, you know, he was able to make a, you know, quite a few throws.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Pat, because a lot of people do say that. They always say, you know, Eli can't move. Eli's a statue. He takes a sack. Tom Brady's a statue. Tom Brady doesn't want boots and everything and naked bootlegs and out of the pocket. Eli Manning could still get out of the pocket. Now, like you said, is he a Lamar Jackson? Is he a Josh Allen where he's going to take off and run for 15? No, we know that. That was never Eli's game. But it's not fair to say that he's a statue. He's not. And especially the Colt game, Pat, and especially that Dallas game. You saw what Shurmur did, right? He got him out with the boots. He got him outside the pocket. He did some misdirections and all, especially got Evan Ingram involved in that part of the game. You know, so I hate that narrative, Patty, when people say he's a statue. He's not a statue. Now, he's not a rushing. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not going to spin around in the pocket and all that. We know that. But he's not a statue. And Shurmur, I thought, was very creative with him, Pat, in the second half of the season, especially the last 3-4 games.
And he had some of his, you know, better numbers, I think, in those games. You know, take away the Tennessee game where basically nobody played well in that game. You know, Eli, I thought, you know, got stronger as the year went on.
Absolutely, Pat. And it's not a coincidence that the offensive line settled down. Pat, the first half of the season, they gave up. The second half of the season, they gave up 16 sacks, 31 in the first half of the season. You know, I mean, Chad Reeler played better. Jamon Brown addition really helped. Sermon did things to get him out of the pocket a little bit. And it's not a coincidence, Pat, that he played much better the second half of the year. Hey, we talked about it the last podcast, Pat. The second half of the year was on the defense, not Eli Manning in the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, it helped that they got the running game going because everything starts up front. And, you know, we listened to Gettleman on last Wednesday, and he talked about that. He said, look, it starts up front. And once we got that offensive line settled down, it just trickled backward to all the skill position players. And, you know, Chris, was there one thing in particular that you felt, you know, just Eli didn't do as well that you would thought maybe coming in he would do better?
Yeah, Pat, red zone offense, Pat. I thought he would get him more in the end zone. Listen, 21 touchdowns in today's NFL, Pat, is really not that good. It's okay, you know. You like to see your quarterback have over 25, you know, in today's game. So I thought that was a big negative. The third down percentage, Pat, that could have been up more. I think they finished at 37%. You know, that's got to be higher. You know, you got to move the chains. You know, I thought Eli gave up on some reads early because he felt the pressure. So all that is part of it. You know what? The deep vertical game really wasn't there much. You know, a lot of check downs, Pat, where I felt maybe he shouldn't have checked down. He checked out a little too quick to like a Saquon where he could have stayed in there and got some more progression down the field. That was the part I was disappointed in with Eli.
Yeah. I'm looking at some Pro Football Stats here. Pro Football Focus, I'm sorry. Just a couple of ratings. Now, I have all the quarterbacks up here. We're looking at passing grades. Eli was sacked the sixth most time last year, 47 sacks. The league leader was Deshaun Watson, a mobile quarterback, by the way.
And Dak Prescott, another mobile quarterback.
And Dak Prescott, who was another mobile quarterback. And Russell Wilson, who was also sacked 51 times. So, I mean, the mobile argument, I'm not so sure that one holds water. But here's another stat that I was interested to see, and that was drop passes. Eli was tied for seventh with Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan with 26 drops on the season. And let me just see. I think Eli, let me see if that's an increase. Drops. Okay, no, that's actually a reduction from what he had in 2017 when he had 43 drop balls, but still, you know, there were, you mentioned the red zone shortcomings, there were at least, I want to say, two or three red zone passes he threw that were dropped, weren't there?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
No question about it. Listen, we talked about it in the past with Sterling Shepard. I mean, I like Shep, but drops is an issue with Shep. Evan Engram, what has been the big issue with Evan? Drops. Got better in the second half of the season, no question about it. When he was healthy, the last four or five games when he played, definitely improved in that aspect. But drops has been an issue, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, you saw some drops out of the bat. Gallman had a few drops, I remember, early in the year. Good. I mean, and one was in the red zone, I remember. I forget which game it was, Pat, but Eli hit Gallman. Mm-hmm. He dropped an easy one. Listen, that's been an issue with Eli the last few seasons. I was surprised to see that it was a decrease this year, Pat. I thought it was actually an increase, but you said you just looked it up. It was a decrease, but definitely an issue with the Giants. No question about it.
Yeah, and then a few other stats with Eli. He's tied for 10th with Derek Carr, the Raiders, for the number of throwaways with 22. His scrambles. I know the scrambles are going to be down at the bottom. Yeah, he's tied with Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, Brock Osweiler, Deshaun Kizer with 4 scrambles. That would be scrambles for moving forward. And then in terms of first downs he was able to get, he's 11th, just behind Tom Brady. Tom Brady had 209, Eli 205. So not too bad, I would say.
Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. It's not as bad as people think. But they need a lot more around them, Pat. You know, listen, everything has to be right for Eli. You can't have an offensive line where you get dropped 47 times. Not with Eli. Like you said, a Russell Wilson could get dropped 51 times. And Russell could still be effective because, you know, he'll do things outside the pocket. He'll take off. He'll do this and that. Eli's not like that. But you have a season where he has 20 drops, 22 drops, you know, something like that. He gets sacked 22. Eli could still be real effective, man. I mean, that's what he needs, Pat. That's what it is. That's what it is with him. And that's something that Gettleman's going to look to improve next season.
Absolutely. Chris, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to put the spotlight on Kyle Lauletta, the fourth-round pick that they drafted, who had kind of a weird year. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about him. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and I'm joined by Chris Viziano, and he's going to be spending the next couple weeks with me breaking down these positions on the Giants. We're going to look at the year that was. We're going to put a spotlight on a player or two, and then we're going to spin ahead and look towards 2019. And, you know, in the first segment, we talked about Eli Manning, but in this segment, I want to look at Kyle Lauletta. Now, you know, he's only thrown 5 passes, Chris, not a whole big body of work to judge, but they were 5 very, how shall we say, not very good passes. And one of the things people who were screaming for Kyle Lauletta all year, why aren't the Giants playing him? And one of the reasons, you know, what I know when I got that question on Twitter, I kept saying, because the coaches don't think he's ready. They're not going to put him out there until he shows he's ready. And I think, you know, when they put him out there in that blowout win over Washington, he pretty much validated what I had been saying, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Listen, it's tough, Pat. You know, he came from Richmond, small program, and now you drop him in the NFL. It's a different world. Mm-hmm. Shermer, obviously, by not activating him until the game before Washington, I believe it was, basically telling everybody, this kid is not ready. We don't see it, Pat, during the practices. We get the first 15 minutes and all that, but then they start practicing, scout team and all that. So obviously what he's been doing all year, Shermer does not believe he was ready. Then he does put him, you know, he does make him act. He gets him in the Washington game. You know, it's only one game, 5 throws, you know, all that, you know. But Shermer kind of said it in the press conference afterwards, like, okay, you saw him, you know. What did you think, basically? You know, like he was basically saying, you see what I've been saying? This kid's not ready. Now, he had the arrest issue, right? That didn't go over well with the organization. One of the main things, I said it before in the past, what really pissed off Shermer, in my opinion, more than the arrest mistake that he made, which was a bad mistake. We all know that. He did something stupid. But why was he running late to the facility? Not a good look, Pat. Not a good look from a rookie quarterback. Not a good look from any quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback, and especially when you have a 15-year Hall, you're probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback that's in there before the sun comes up. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think that was a big, big negative for Laletta. Not plus the fact that this kid is just not ready. He couldn't handle the offense, the NFL offense yet. And I think Sherman made that pretty known this year, Pat.
Yeah. And Dave Gettleman in his press conference, year in press conference, said, look, you know, as far as the arrest goes, the kid did something stupid. And Gettleman kind of said, hey, look, we've all done something stupid at one point or another in our life. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, Chris. I've done stupid things, but that never involved, you know, the police or an arrest. Yep. But you know, you make a very valid point, and you have to ask yourself, if Laletta was running late that one day, and, you know, for those who don't remember or didn't get the details, the police report said that the incident took place around 8 o'clock in the morning on that day, and the Giants were supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So you've got to ask yourself, and I think it's a very valid point here, if Laletta was running late that day, how many other times was he running late?
Well, Patty, he got a citation the day before.
Mm-hmm.
The day before, they mailed a citation in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, the same police department, I think it was Weehawken. They were going to mail a citation in the mail to him because they got his plate, and they couldn't stop him. So he was obviously doing the same thing the day before. And from what I understand, Pat, I know you were with me on this, we kind of heard a buzz around the building that this wasn't the first time, you know, that he was kind of running late to work.
Mm.
Are you kidding? I mean, Patty, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
You are a rookie quarterback trying to make a squad, trying to make an impression on a coaching staff. You're new to this league, and you're running late?
Now, not a good look.
That doesn't fly in this league with head coaches, Pat. You know that. Like I said, I remember when Sherman talked about Laletta's incident with us, with the media, and, you know, with the press. And I don't know about you, Pat, but I looked in his eyes. I saw that he was so more pissed about him being late when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback that's in there 2 hours before him. Are you kidding me, Pat? That didn't go over well. No question about it.
Yeah, and you know, look, if you have a player who does that, you have to question his commitment to his craft. Now, you know, I'm sure Kyle Laletta, now I say this, we're not in behind the scenes, we're not in the classroom. And as Chris said, we're not there for the entire practice. We get to see the stretching part for about 15 minutes and then we're sent inside. But you have to wonder just how much he grasped what was being taught. And you know, you made a good point earlier. Laletta is coming from a smaller school. You know, he had a little longer learning curve. And to me, it's just, I can't wrap my head around the fact that, you know, given those circumstances, that he wasn't beating Eli into the building every day.
It's mind boggling that a journeyman who wasn't a draft pick, Alex Canny, is in there before him.
Okay. Yeah.
Listen, Pat. Alex Canny was active. He was the backup to Eli. I think out of the 16 games, it was like, I think it was 12 of them, whatever it was, the exact number. I think Laletta was active the last game and two other ones. So Canny was active, 12, whatever it was. That says it all right there, Pat, that a journeyman was active over a fourth round pick. To me,
yeah,
that says it all.
Yes, it does. It sure does. It's not a good look. And what said it all for me and kind of clinched it for me is when, after elevating Laletta to number two, he got demoted. Now, Shermer insisted it was not a demotion, but call it what it is, Chris. I thought it was a demotion.
Listen, Shermer's going to defend his players. He's going to be in the players' corners no matter what. We've learned that from Shermer this season. He defends his players to the end. He's not going to give you much. But I don't care any way you want to look at it. That was a demotion. That's it. Sorry. That's Sherman saying, you know what, my man? I, you're just not good enough. Get Canny back in there just in case something happens to Eli. That's the way I look at it, Pat. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure, for sure. Chris, let's take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the position for 2019. So, folks, do stay with us.
Hey, Giant fans, watching football is fun, but it's even more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, MyBookie gives you that chance. For example, pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on: college basketball, college football, NBA, NHL, and even esports. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Also, make sure you're following BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers during this football season. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and Chris Bisciano of the Giant Insider. And we are beginning our position-by-position breakdown of each position unit. And we are doing quarterbacks. We've just finished up two segments talking about Eli Manning, talking about Kyle LaLutta. And Chris, now it's time to look at 2019. And I'll tell you, I can't ever remember a position, you know, a fan base, the media being so split over a particular player as they are over Eli Manning in the future. You've got one segment of the fan base and media saying, get him the heck out of here. You've got another saying, you know, get him better talent. I mean, this has been an absolute wild and interesting season to watch the back and forth and just the fracture that exists amongst the fan base and the media.
And guess what, Patty? It's going to get wilder. I mean, the first wild event, as we can label it, is going to be March, I think it was 15th, where to see whether or not Eli gets the $5 million bonus, right? Free agency, you know, when that starts, we'll see what happens with a guy like Foles. If the Giants don't go after any free agents, then it's, you know, obviously if they don't try to do something with Foles or something, or anybody, you know, Bridgewater, whatever the way they're thinking. Right up at the draft night. It's going to be a wild event, Pat. I mean, people are going to be, like, waiting for that sixth pick, saying, okay, get him in, like, Haskins, whatever. If they go with a quarterback, Eli's done, right? I mean, if they don't, Eli's here. Like, you know, I think we feel the same. Eli's going to be the quarterback in 2019. There's nobody that's on the roster or in free agency except maybe a Foles, that's going to be an upgrade over Eli. So unless they go quarterback in the draft, Pat, Eli will be the quarterback in September of 19.
Well, I'm going to take it a step even further. I'm going to say that if he gets that $5 million roster bonus, he is the quarterback. Okay. I don't care what they do with the sixth round pick. He will be the guy behind center. Now, one of the things I have always said, and I just want to clarify something because I get called an Eli homer a lot because I am in the pro Eli camp. And I recognize, you know, and the reason why I throw my support behind the guys because I see what the offensive line has been like these last several years. Okay. It is not a fit for what he does. If you're going to build around your quarterback, then you better, you know, build it to cover up his weaknesses. That's just how it works when you build around a specific player. But more so, you know, people say, oh, you know, Eli needs everything perfect. Well, you name me one quarterback out there that can get by, you know, running for his life on every single play, who can survive players who are dropping balls or, you know, offensive lines who are not blowing open holes for the running game. Name me a guy who has that success and who can do it all by himself.
Yep, and this goes back to, you know, the way I feel about this, Pat. The buffoon brothers, Jerry Reese and Mark Ross, they ruined Eli's prime with their draft picks from 2012. On. Okay, so that's the way I don't want to keep repeating myself over there, but I will repeat it one last time, folks. The buffoon brothers, Ross and Reese, ruined Eli's prime from the age 31 on. Okay, yes, and you're exactly right. You a guy like Eli, when you're going to go with a guy, when Eli Manning's a franchise quarterback, you have to build in front of him because he's not a Russell Wilson type. They didn't do it, Pat, and it really, really hurt his career from the age, from my opinion, Pat, from the age 31 on. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, Gettleman, we'll see if Gettleman comes back with him, but obviously, if he does, and there's a very good chance Eli will be the quarterback, Gettleman's going to build up even more up front to build around Eli and what he does best.
Well, I think he's going to – Gettleman will build up regardless because here's the other thing, Chris. You've got to throw into the equation that there is a possibility Eli could retire. He might say, you know what, I don't like the direction this franchise is going in. I don't like what Gettleman had to say, you know, at that meeting that they had on, you know, last mm-hmm. Monday. You know, right. there are any number of things that can factor into this equation. The Giants might come to him and say, hey, look, Eli, we need you to take a pay cut like your brother did. And, you know, that was a point raised last week by Paul Schwartz in an article. And the difference is that Peyton took the pay cut because he was coming off of a serious neck injury. And I think there were questions about whether or not he'd ever be effective again. Eli yeah. is not coming off of such an injury. So when people say, oh, Eli needs to take a pay cut, I'm not so sure if I'm Eli. I take the pay cut because I say, look, you know, you gave me garbage to work with the first half of the year. You've given me garbage for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years for my offensive line. You know, how is that all my fault? Now, that you know, Eli could also turn around and say, you know what, okay, I'll give some money back if it'll help getting a free agent or whatnot. But what I think is going to happen with Eli is they're going to extend him a year. They're going to keep him as is. They're going to maybe restructure his deal. And in order to restructure 2019, they have to add an extra year on. So this way right. now, if they don't get a quarterback in 2019, whether it be, you know, a youngster and you know, no disrespect to Nick Foles, but I wonder if he's not a system quarterback, you know, and I don't see right. Philly letting him go, especially given Carson Wentz's injury history now. But I think with Eli, you extend him. You maybe restructure his deal, take some of the money, convert it into a prorated signing bonus that you can spread over the next 2 years. And then in 2020, if you have your youngster, and from what I keep hearing, the 2020 quarterback class is going to be much, much better. Now yeah, you grab yeah, your kid, yeah. you grab your kid, you keep Eli around, similar to what they did with Kurt Warner when Kurt Warner was here. And he mentored mm-hmm. Eli, and then you mm-hmm. gradually transition, or you do like what the Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes and Alex Smith, where, you know, Alex Smith ran the offense, Pat Mahomes sat behind him, and then the following year, mm-hmm. the Chiefs said goodbye to Smith and anointed Mahomes as their guy. So, you know, that's the scenario I think is going to play out.
Yeah, you might be right, Pat. It's going to be fascinating, though, right? It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. Oh, you could cut his base salary, make it incentives, Patty, you know, a $2 million incentive if you throw 25 touchdowns or something like that, you know. Yeah. They did that with Peyton, too. They gave him like a $2 million incentive. They went to the Super Bowl. They went to this. And he happened to have collected all of it because he won the Super Bowl and the whole deal. So they could do something maybe with that, like that with Eli, too, you know. So it's going to be – listen, Pat, I think the way you just said it, there's been some wild times around here as far as Eli goes. And – that's a good word, Pat, because it's going to be, it's wild times the way the fan base thinks about Eli, and it's going to get even wilder now in this offseason going up to the draft.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing I'll just mention real quick regarding the draft and free agency, you know, people say, you know, they're still debating about Saquon Barkley, who we'll talk about, you know, on the next show. But here's how I see it, Chris. Okay. Regardless mm-hmm. if it's Eli Manning, regardless if it's Dwayne Haskins or Joe Blow, whoever your quarterback is, wouldn't you want to have a solid offensive line and a solid set of receivers and a solid tight end and a good running game that can scare opposing defensive coordinators, regardless of who your quarterback is?
Absolutely, Pat. You're not winning in this league without a good offensive line. And if you don't think the Cowboys scare the crap out of people with their offensive line the last few years with Zeke Elliott behind it, you're sadly mistaken. I mean, yeah. I love when people say, oh, that's a waste. You know, look how high Zeke Elliott went. Look how high Saquon went. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Cowboys are in the playoffs 2 to 3 years. Zeke Elliott's on the team, right? Does he not strike fear? If you don't think the Seahawks have fear tonight, you know, and defending Zeke Elliott, I mean, this is what Saquon's going to do too. Build up that offensive line. Saquon's going to install fear in opponents, man. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? I don't get. You know what, Pat? This is what's great. You know, I know everybody likes to rip the Saquon. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't take a running back number two. That's ridiculous. You could get him any draw line. Are you kidding me? You know, if the Cowboys win one Super Bowl in the next few years, I hope they don't, Pat. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if they go out and they make a run this year, Pat, right? And they come out of the NFC and they go to the Super Bowl and whatever happens. I'm just saying, I hope they don't. But, and Ezekiel Elliott is the focal point of why they win the Super Bowl or he gets them to the Super Bowl. People, are you going to say, oh, the running back is the value position? You shouldn't take a back that high. All it takes is one Super Bowl, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, you got to take a running back, number three, number two, if you got. Yeah, come on, Pat, stop.
And
a guy like Saquon installs fear. Just got to build up the offensive line more, Pat.
Exactly. And by the way, does anybody remember what spot Ezekiel Elliott was drafted?
Yeah, three, right?
No, four.
Four, no. Four,
okay,
four,
so
I'm
he
sorry,
was two
four, slot, right.
He was two slots right. lower than Saquon Barkley. So I'm sorry, you know, if you have a once in a generational type of talent who can do like a Zeke Elliott or a Saquon Barkley does, how can you continue to debate this? I just don't get it. You set yourself up, Pat, like I said,
it's a copycat league. The Cowboys win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel Elliott is the main reason why everybody'd be like, we got to get a generational running back. You know the way this league works, Pat. You know, and you know, I'll tell you what, too, Pat. 2 years, when Ezekiel Elliott was a rookie 2 years ago, yeah, it was the best offensive line of football. And he opened up holes the size of an airplane could stroll through there. You know what I mean? I understand that. But he hasn't had that same offensive line this year. That offensive line is a different offensive line this year. It's good, but not as good as it was a couple years ago. And he still had 1,400 yards rushing. And he didn't even play against the Giants the last game. So, you know, I mean, that's what we're looking at here. Just generational talents like that. So I don't fault Gettleman at all for drafting a kid, like he said, is an unbelievable generational talent.
Yeah. No, I agree. And
Patty, just quickly, Patty, he had 1,300 yards rushing this year against behind that a Giants offensive line.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Patty, if we could show up that right side of the line, even add a Pro Bowler through the draft or whatever it might be, Pat? Can you imagine what Saquon could do then?
Absolutely. And Chris, we will talk about it on the next show. Lots to talk about Saquon and the running back picture in general. But for now, Giant fans, want to thank you as always for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the first of our review shows, or I guess it's a review and preview. Make sure you tune in the rest of the week. We've got running backs coming up. We're basically doing the whole offense this week. So we've got running backs, tight ends, receivers, offensive line, loads and loads to talk about. Chris, my friend, we'll do it again.
All right, Patty. Look forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Okay.